Well, the entire NPC fucking world is in panic, and I think it's fucking hilarious. Cue the music. How we doing out there? Okay, what the fuck is an NPC? Well, you know what? For those of you that are gamers, for those of you that have been around the block playing fucking video games for God knows how fucking long, it's considered a non-playable character or non-player character. These are the fucking things that have absolutely no control over what the fuck they do. They just do it because it's in the fucking programming. And that describes a shit ton of fucking liberals out there nowadays. Now, just to give you fair warning at the beginning of this fucking show, this is the first one of this year, and this is going to be the last one for a little while, because my actual bill-paying job is going to be requiring a lot of my fucking time. And unfortunately enough, this does not pay the bill, so therefore I cannot guarantee my time on this. I will be back. I promise you, I'm not going anywhere for very long. But again, I'm going to be on a hiatus for a little bit. That being said, this one's going to be a long one, so save it, download it, take it in parts. I don't give a shit, but if there's anything that you should be sharing and looking out for, it's going to be this episode right here. We're going to be getting into what an NPC is, and I think NPC is more than just the non-player character. NPC for me is a lot of what the government is trying to do, and that's to normalize things. They want to normalize political crime. They want to normalize police crime. They want to normalize fucking political fucking criminals themselves. You know, all kinds of fucking crazy shit, right? They want to normalize public crazy. This shit is getting fucking insane. It's getting completely out of fucking control. And I don't know where we're going to go with this. Just look at right now. They're all in panic because Nick Shirley, an independent journalist. Now, they're going to be screaming and fucking yelling about how he's a viral video YouTuber or something along those fucking lines, right? When you can't fight the context of the story, you fight the character of the person delivering the story. This is what they do. They attack the character of the person delivering the story instead of the story itself. They touch on the story, and their whole fucking excuse about this is, yes, I'm sorry. Yes, there's fraud that's going on, but I promise you, it's already being looked into. It's already being dealt with. Everything that he's talking about is absolutely hogwash, right? We've already taken care of these things. Don't worry about it. We've got this. Because this kid didn't go to some fucking school to learn how to be a left-wing fucking journalist, because he didn't get some fucking fancy snot-nosed goddamn fucking university libtard fucking plug up his goddamn ass to sign off on a piece of paper and put his own fucking stamp on it to say this kid belongs and, you know, is capable of investigating and writing a fucking story. I mean, honestly, this is the real investigative journalism that we used to believe was actually fucking happening. This is the real investigative journalism that exposed things like Watergate and so forth, right? That all these fucking people want to applaud for and that they think that Trump is fucking doing. This is the real fucking investigative journalism. And because of this kid supporting the right side, because this kid supports Trump, he is an awful fucking person. You can't trust anything that he fucking says. And then on top of that, everything he's doing is wrong, and he's going about it in all the wrong fucking directions. And so you can't believe anything that he fucking says at all. It's honestly mind numbing. It really is. And he's exposed so fucking much, not only just him, but there's other libs of TikTok has been exposing shit left and fucking right. But because Nick Shirley has garnered the attention that he has from this viral 42 minute fucking video with fucking receipts, it's bringing more and more attention to those that have already been exposing and been talking about things like this. Like right here from Libs of TikTok, this came out January 1st. She posted, "Holy smokes, you'll never believe this. Somalia's Minister of Foreign Affairs owns a home healthcare company in Ohio. There's two other healthcare companies in the same suites, and as his and multiple others at this address with Somali owners. What are the odds?" It's more than just the Somalis, but the Somalis are a big, big part of this. Like I said, the ones that are here are the ones that could afford to get here. And the only ones that can afford to get here from that country are the ones that are corrupt and part of that corrupt government. Nick Shirley exposed the Learing Center. And after he exposed that one, that was the main focus everybody went to. And so all of a sudden they said, well, they were closed between 2 p.m. and 10 p.m. Or their hours of operations were only from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. Never mind, state law says that I have to be open by 6 a.m. from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. Then they had some other fucking excuse, right? And then all of a sudden now there's video footage of children showing up, but it's only a couple of kids here and a couple of kids there. Nick Shirley did the legwork. He talked to other people that were on the streets around the area. Nick Shirley did so much of the legwork, he ended up having cops called on him by several places. Nobody's fucking covering the story on it, except for what he was trying to expose. And look at what's happening right now. They're screaming racism, all while trying to spend more of your fucking tax dollars and my tax dollars on these fucking illegal immigrants and the ones robbing us. Everybody wants to go back and scream about Melissa Hortman, but never mind the fact that Melissa Hortman voted against giving money to these fucking people because she knew it was corrupted. So she didn't want to just keep giving money away. She voted against this.
I know that people will be hurt by that vote. And we worked very hard to try to get a budget deal that wouldn't include that provision.
DFL Speaker Emerita Melissa Hortman emotional following the House's adjournment from a special session Monday. Hortman was the lone DFL lawmaker to cast a vote to cut Minnesota care access for undocumented immigrants. It's a move she made with a heavy heart.
I did what leaders do. I stepped up and I got the job done for the people of Minnesota.
The bill.
She was in tears. Now, was she in tears because of the fact that she didn't want to make that vote? And she knew it was going to be bad? Or was she in tears because she was fearful for her life? Because it wasn't long after that she was fucking murdered. It's just that simple. You have these fucking judges. Judge Sarah West. Judge Amber Brannon. And Judge Hillary Caligari. Three fucking people that were found guilty committing fraud. Millions and millions of dollars. And all three of these judges overturned that guilty conviction by the jury. J.D. Vance put out, this dude has done far more useful journalism than any other of the winners of the 2024 Pulitzer Prizes. And this is what's pissed off the mainstream media, is the fact that you don't have to have a degree to do this fucking job. That all you have to have is dedication to the truth, the time, and a little bit of the funding. In all honesty, it's created whenever Elon Musk puts out on his account stating that we are the media now. That is not a lie. You can't fall for just any little thing. You have to do your own fucking research. But the truth is out there. And people are doing this. People are telling their story. This thing that's happening in Minnesota is not fucking new. I mean, here's an older story here from when, a Minnesota healthcare company run by Muhammad caught billing Medicaid for patients who never even solicited their services and who they never met. Then you have fucking back in 2015, over 10 years ago, right? Former fraud investigator with the government said millions of taxpayer dollars were being stolen by daycares. Massive. They don't want fraud unit doing anything. It is nothing but a giant cover up. We uncovered evidence that the company was collecting millions in public subsidies for providing bogus childcare services. In essence, this scheme was really involved creating a criminal enterprise. This was known. 2015. Everything that Nick Shirley is exposing is not old fucking news. Here's a report from 7 years ago of Somali fraudsters caught sending over $100 million through airports to foreign groups, including terrorist groups. Somali daycare scams, one of the sources of the fraud, were reported back in 2015. This fraud has been going on for years. Democrat leaders are in on it. This is actually treason. Democrats are knowingly funding Islamist terrorism against Americans with our tax dollars. This is all from Libs of TikTok. A Fox 9 report from 2015.
It's the morning of March 15th. We're chasing a tip about a man who's leaving the country. Our sources tell us he just took a carry-on bag through security that was packed with $1 million cash. You can do that as long as you fill out one of these government forms. We're told these cloak and dagger-like scenarios now happen almost weekly at MSP International. The money is usually headed to the Middle East, Dubai, and points beyond. Our sources say last year alone, more than $100 million cash left MSP in carry-on luggage.
What we were interested in is where it was going.
The national go-to expert on what's behind these mysterious money transfers is Glenn Kearns. He's a former Seattle police detective who spent 15 years on the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force until his retirement.
Well, I think he's got a little bit of credentials there behind him.
outright crime. It's unbelievable.
Kearns tracked millions of dollars in cash that was leaving on flights from Seattle. It was coming from hawalas, businesses used to courier money to countries that have no official banking system. Some immigrant communities rely on hawalas to send funds to help impoverished relatives back home. Kearns discovered some of the money was being funneled to a hawala in a region of Somalia that's controlled by the Al-Shabaab terrorist group. How could they possibly come up with such big bucks to transfer back home?
We had sources that told us it's all about it's welfare fraud. It's all about the daycare.
To better understand the connection between daycare fraud and the surge in carry-on cash, you have to look at the history of this crime.
5 years ago, the Fox 9 investigators were first to report that daycare fraud was on the rise here in Minnesota.
So they reported on it back in 2012 that it was on the rise. And here we are, 2026. And we're still fucking dicking with it. And it's considered to a loss of up to $9 billion. I think $9 billion. Yeah, that's what they said. Not 19. 19 was the total of the funding or something along those lines. But $9 billion. $9 billion fucking dollars. And we've known about this. We've been dicking with this for a hot fucking minute. And it kills me. It absolutely kills me. But these fuckers are in panic mode. They're in absolute fucking panic mode. This woman, she describes it best. This is Kate. She says, all it tells me is that there are far more people involved in the fraud than originally thought. She says, I'm so tired of this absolute bullshit, and I couldn't agree more. Let's listen to her.
So the scramble to cover up Minnesota's fraud problem is on. Walk with me here. So Nick Shirley shows up to this facility right here, and there are no kids. The sign on the business is misspelled. The address is misspelled. This daycare got $4 million tax dollars this year, and the building was empty. After Shirley published this video, the Minnesota Children, Youth, and Families Commissioner, Tiki Brown, said that this daycare had shut down about a week ago after repeat violations, and that's why the building was closed.
Quality Learning Center closed just over a week ago.
But then that same exact day, the New York Post shows up, and suddenly there are children being bussed in by the dozens. And neighbors are saying that this is the first time they have ever seen children going in and out of this building. And now, the daycare magically has a sign on the door saying their hours of operation are from 2 p.m. to 10 p.m. for a daycare for toddlers, which the Somali owners now say is why Nick Shirley didn't see any kids, because he came before 2 p.m.
Someone came to our building outside of operating hours.
But even if that were plausible, that would mean that this facility is not in compliance with Minnesota's daycare policy, which states a facility must be open for normal waking hours between 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. The state should have theoretically caught that if they had actually inspected this facility. And you, my stupid American taxpaying friend, are supposed to believe that all of this is normal and that these are totally reasonable explanations. Just keep stroking that check to the IRS. They actually think you're dumb enough to believe this.
And that's from Real Brit Hughes, who did that. And it's 100% accurate. You can't get any more fucking accurate than that. That they are in complete and total fucking panic. They don't even have all of their fucking stories together. You got one person coming out saying that the fucking place was closed. So that's why nobody could get in. Then you got another person that supposedly works there, says it was outside of the business hours. And then they're posting up different business hours. And then you got neighbors talking about that. This is the first time they've ever seen fucking kids going in there. They're in complete and total panic over this. They have no idea how to fucking react, right? And then you got this stupid fucking Somali bitches that are getting on there. They think they're getting away with every fucking thing, right? And so they're running their fucking mouth. Well, next thing you know, Elon Musk decides to respond to one of these stupid fucking bitches because this one ran her fucking mouth and she decided to talk about Elon and how Elon's got death knocking at his fucking door. He's going to die. He responds with, well, then this is war. You coming after me? I'm not going to fucking take it ever so slightly. He says he already understands the type of people that these people are. Him being from fucking South Africa, he already understands the type of shit that's coming for him. So these people are in absolute fucking panic. Let's see. What is this? So much so that you actually have the media pleading for you to watch them and basically that they're kowtowing to you, that they're on the fucking knees and just bent all the way over. This is from CBS Evening News right here. It says, on too many stories, the press has missed the story because we've taken into account the perspective of advocates and not the average American, or we put too much weight in the analysis of academics or elites and not enough of you. That changes now. The new CBS Evening News starts Monday at 6:30 p.m. Now, this could be one of two reasons. Either they're begging you to fucking watch, or they're being forced to apologize because of new ownership. Do they have new ownership? I think they have new ownership. I know everybody was going nuts over that. DNC is upping their fucking ante, paying more content creators.
Let me get this straight. The DNC is reaching out to content creators, offering them sums of $20,000 plus in a contract for a year, along with subject matter and talking points to talk bad about Donald Trump. Is it just me, or does anybody else find it insane that the Democratic Party wants to bribe people with money to slander our president?
You already know that's the only real way. I mean, the only ones, you only have two different kinds of fucking people that's going to be taking this money. Those that fucking think this is a blessing and they truly believe in this and they're just getting paid to do what they love, which is bash Donald Trump. Or you have those that are fucking greedy bastards and don't give two shits about what happens to anybody else as long as they're fucking taken care of. And they'll talk shit on anybody as long as it's the right fucking price. That these people are going into absolute fucking panic mode, trying to debunk everything that fucking Nick Shirley did. That you have the media attacking him personally. It's.
What was this?
This is how they thank God for Scott Jennings. Because Pam Bondi's talking about buckle up lawmakers. She's fixing to start doing some heavy fucking investigation and the shit. And this is how they fucking talk about it.
This idea that nothing is being done, that no one is being held accountable, that this was just let to run rampant is completely false.
See, that's their go-to. Don't worry about it. It has been investigated. 80 people have been fucking indicted for it or whatever, and they've been arrested, or 90 people have been indicted and 80 people have been arrested, and things are getting done. Don't worry about it. It started off back then, and it was headed off by a white woman whenever we did it. So it's not a Somali thing because they had a white woman that was doing things.
Well, some people have been held accountable.
but I think in the opinion of most Republicans, not nearly enough. And truthfully, until somebody in a position of power, until somebody in a position in Minnesota, elected position, who was in charge of administering this or having some oversight over it, goes to jail, it's honestly never going to stop. Look what's going on in blue states across the country. $9 billion in Minnesota, $70 billion in fraud in California, cooking the crime stats in Washington, D.C. When is someone in a position of power going to go to jail for the rampant fraud?
Hold on a second.
You can put all the low-level people in jail you want, but until somebody in charge goes to jail...
Trump, I don't have TDS, but Trump? Jesus fuck, dude. This is how bad it's getting. They're getting so fucking desperate. They're making TikTokers fucking panelists. This fucking wannabe regurgitated version of Rachel Maddow, that fucking under the desk reporter, right? She saw it once in a porn and thought it would be a novel idea to pull off to try to get men's attention, I guess. I don't know. Because liberals, for whatever fucking reason, think they honestly understand how the fuck our brain fucking works and what our thought processes are, because they're told by stupid fucking scissor cunts like this who have just lived their life with total fucking dick envy and try to tell everybody what a conservative thinks and how a conservative thinks and whatnot. So therefore, these are the fucking experts that these fucking liberals go to. It's truly, truly, it's like watching a fucking train wreck happen, right? Or watching cars come into an already piled up fucking crash on the highway, you know, like Tuesday in LA. It's devastating. It's fearful. And also just truly amazing of how these people can be so confidently stupid. That's the thing. Confidently stupid. I mean,
what did Nick Fuentes do with power in the first place? I think we validate him by talking about him so much. I mean, this guy gets more airtime even right now than anybody else who's doing any kind of like real on the ground organizing work. And so in some ways, I'm like, yeah, this guy's got a lot of power because we keep giving it to him. We keep talking about him. But just like with Stephen Miller or with Trump or anyone else, these people want power until it's time to take care of people. Everybody wants to be the boss until it's time to do boss stuff. And so
I think Stephen Miller has been a very efficient boss in this White House.
And in terms of like him getting his agenda across, but it's not keeping that audience. It's not making MAGA feel. Look at his approval rating for Trump right now. Because when you have the power, it's about how you take care of people. And if you can't take care of them or they're feeling the truth that they are feeling right now, then you're going to lose them again. That's why I say his potential has always been the thing that kept him in power. The promises of someday, someday.
See, here's what gets me, and the way this the mini mad cow it tries to fucking put this out there is, she says, you know, you have to keep their attention, you have to keep their approval, as if politics is just a fucking TV rating show. Mind you, it is portrayed as such for the most part. But at the same time, this is not a fucking game show. This is not a TV show. This is not a fucking TikTok series. This is our goddamn life. These are our goddamn futures. These are our fucking children. Just because absolutely zero people on this planet want to procreate with you little fucking wannabe Will Wheaton looking little shits. My apologies that you were born with a manly fucking face, but doesn't mean you have to fucking accentuate this shit and fucking try to push your ugliness on other people. I got nothing for you. But you want to spill or spew your vile lies, hatred all over, just and people suck it up. All of these fucking NPCs just suck it up. Take, for instance, this shit right here. All right, so the manager at one of the Minnesota child care centers reports there was a break-in and there's missing important documentation. Minnesota police said that there's nothing was stolen. The initial reports from the management at the Minnesota Child Care Center suggested that sensitive documents, including payroll and client files, were stolen during an overnight break-in. However, Minneapolis police later confirmed that their official report showed that nothing was taken from the office or the facility. Now, before I play this audio, and we can listen to fucking Mushmouth over here, I want you to take notice of this picture from the break-in. Somehow or another, this person on the opposing side that came in through the Dollar General. For those of y'all in the South, that's Dollar General. Don't confuse that with Dollar Tree. Or that one store that's in the mall called Everything's a Buck. All right. So, somehow or another, this fucking motherfucker had the capabilities, for those of you that cannot see, there's a big fucking hole that is cut at an angle as if done from the inside. You can already tell. And somehow or another, it is cut a good foot down to the bottom where the tile starts, somehow or another being blocked by cinder blocks. On the opposite side of this cut are fucking cinder blocks. And they're trying to say that they broke in and somehow cut beyond these fucking cinder blocks to crawl through this small fucking space. Did not even have the fucking thought process to remove the cinder blocks. Because the crawl space, the hole itself is big enough to crawl through. Absolutely. Half of the hole is being blocked by cinder blocks. And they never had the thought process to remove the cinder blocks to make it look like people actually got in. Now, let's listen to Mushmouth.
My name is Nasrullah Mohammed. That is spelled N-A-S-R-U-L-A-H-M-O-H-A-M-E-D. I'm the manager at Nokomis Daycare Center, and today I want to talk about what happened yesterday. Yesterday morning, I was called by the owner because, unfortunately, someone came in to our daycare.
This is the manager of the daycare who's giving this statement, not the owner. Mind you, this manager is also wearing $3,000 fucking glasses.
The cleaner called the owner and told him what happened and the vandalism that happened. The owner called us. Me and another manager came into the scene around 6 a.m. We looked and saw what happened, and we saw that the suspect came in from the back, broke in from the back kitchen, and he also destroyed the wall to come in. As he came in, he broke a door from family, the wall from Family Dollar from the side.
I'm having trouble trying to buy into it, as you will. And then they're having protests. And well, let's just say that they have complications when they go off script.
And I do see some signs over here that say stop fraud, and I agree, stop it. There are wait lists for these programs that are years long. There is fraud, there is...
Oops, there's fraud, there's fraud. Yeah. The truth seems to be coming out. They had one of the Somalis speak.
If childcare is cut, I'm unable to work or go to school. I understand fraud is bad.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. Now let's look at this picture. Okay, so she's got I wasn't supposed to say that. Hang on a sec. Oh, and then she covers up her mouth with her other hand, and look, that's a 5-carat fucking goddamn ring on her finger. Yes, fraud is bad. We should not be committing fraud. And somehow these NPCs fucking buy into it. They believe it. Every bit of it. Right? Every fucking bit of it. Let's look at one of these NPCs. Let's see. I can't do them for very long. Oh, here's a political NPC. He's a piece of shit. This is newly released video footage shows Keith Ellison, a Democrat, the Minnesota Attorney General, not clapping for the military veterans arriving at an honor flight to visit memorials in Washington, D.C. He's not clapping. He don't give two fucks. He just stand there with his hands together. He don't give a shit. God. And they want to talk shit on fucking Trump. Oh. Well, let's look at this reaction. This best reaction video on the internet. Okay, well, you can definitely tell this person's a liberal. They have a pride shirt with short shorts, rainbow colored hair, and more fucking rolls than Pillsbury, and they've got a dog with them. Why do they want to fucking put the dogs through this? I feel bad for the dogs more than I do the people living these fucking lives. The dog has no reason to be like this. The dog just needs to be a dog. Unfortunately enough, some of these people want to be dogs too. So sad.
Hi! Can you tell me about your dog?
This is Honey. He is a gay, gender fluid, golden retriever Afghan ham mix.
Yeah.
Hang on. I gotta hear that one more time. A gay, gender fluid, golden retriever afghan mix.
A gay, gender fluid, golden retriever afghan ham mix.
That dog don't look nothing like an afghan ham.
Yes.
Yeah, see, this dog don't think of it either. He thinks that, look, he could see the golden retriever, but... Yeah, I'm with him. I'm with him on that one. Oh, let's listen to some liberal tears, because this one says, this is Johnny Midnight posted this one. He says, can you imagine being this retarded and talking to your parents like this? The initials on his hat sat TB. On his hat sat TB. His parents should send him a new hat that says TDS, since he has TDS stage 5. All right, he's a minute and a half long. Let's listen. How about, because that's, these NPCs, this is what it all comes down to. It is Trump derangement syndrome. Trump's not running for office again, but yet that is the main key point that they talk about when they talk about running against anybody in political office. I'm going to stop Trump. I'm going to stop Trump and what he's doing with ICE. I'm going to stop Trump and what he's doing with the cartels. I'm going to, it's always Trump. But let's listen.
I sat with my parents for months in my house, face to face, trying to pull them out of this cult. And they still capitulate to a lying, rapist pedophile who started this nightmare by pointing fingers at immigrants and screaming about.
I love the fact that they keep referring to us as a cult, right? And here's what fucking gets me. If you do not see things as they see things, 100% the way they see things, you are an evil, hateful fucking person. But yet whenever we question each other and questions ourselves, is there's dissent within the ranks, right? There's problems. You can't have that. Oh my God, MAGA's falling apart. There's this internal fucking breakups and Revan and whatever the fuck. Huh? No, it's called fucking dialogue, you dumb fuck. Jesus Christ, just because not everybody's a fucking cud-chewing fucking sea cow like you, following along wherever they gotta fucking go and all this other fucking shit, clapping and applauding for the fucking paid fucking people at the goddamn fucking Sea World. Jesus Christ, but oh well. Let's listen to fucking Ginger clap here.
About crime, like this country was on fire. It was all bullshit. It was all fake. Immigration is basically flat over the past 30 years. Crime.
The fuck? Hang on a second. Immigration. Look, the only thing that's fucking flat over the last 20 fucking years is his goddamn fucking cranial increase. Jesus. Fuck, dude. Holy shit. Does sniffing ass dissipate brain activity? Because, I mean, the guy looks like a fart muncher. I mean, there's no other ifs, ands, or buts about it. I mean, you can tell. I probably think he used to be blonde and only went ginger from the chocolate starfish. Right. I mean, he thinks he's hot shit wearing his fucking Meta glasses. I mean, he looks like a bad fucking recreation of a wannabe B actor or something. I don't know. Looks a bad costume. Looks like a bad costume. That was a bad joke, too. But you know what? That's my bad and that's on me. So fuck y'all.
Is way fucking down, but they chose the lie. They chose the hate and they chose him. And when I couldn't breathe through the fascist stench in the air anymore, I snapped. I walked them to the door and said, don't come back, don't call, don't talk to me or my kids until you denounce Trump, period. That was May. It is Christmas. They live 1.5 miles away. Still no call, still no truth, still silence.
And what the fuck did he fucking expect? He's like, don't fucking call me, you hateful person. I'm cutting you off. They haven't called me.
But they showed up for their pedophile president in a fucking heartbeat. Just not for their son. You don't get to call it family while defending a predator who tries to screw democracy. You don't get to hide behind scripture while fascism crawls through the front door. You don't get to stand with the man who ripped kids from their parents, mocked, disabled, raped children, and tried to stay in power by force? And you still think you're on the right side of anything and can visit my fucking family?
Now, here's the funny fucking part. Everything that they fucking try to say that Trump is, he's this fascist fucking dictator, fucking authoritarian, all this other fucking hoopity hoppity fucking shit, right? But they were saying that that's what Maduro was back in 2019. That Maduro was forcing his way to stay in power, handpicked by Hugo Chavez, and was a dictator. This is what CNN said about it.
Even in Latin America, the same pattern. While U.S. public support for Venezuela's self-declared interim president Juan Guaido seems to have diminished, strongman Nicolas Maduro is still in power as Russia's support for him remains steadfast.
Is still in power. The other guy said, look, I fucking won. Oh, shit. I got loud. Said, look, I fucking won the election. It's mine. I won it. We saw it, but it's not happening.
Sending a clear message to the world of America in retreat and Vladimir Putin filling the void. And you know, it's remarkable because Vladimir Putin isn't even that popular here in Russia right now because of the bad economic situation and a botched pension reform. So these foreign policy gifts that he keeps getting from President Trump not only make him stronger abroad, but also help keep him in power here in Russia as well, Brianna.
Let's see. All right, Fred.
That they're saying that Maduro staying in power is a foreign policy gift from Trump because Trump is not getting involved in it, right? Trump said, look, I'm not going to fuck with it. I'm not going to get into it right now. Too much other shit going on. Fixing to have another election. Fuck y'all. And they wanted him to get involved in it.
Thank you so much for that report. Okay, so, you know, one of the arguments the president makes is that these places are thousands of miles away. The U.S. doesn't need to involve itself. And hey, if Russia is going to get involved, so be it.
Part of what President Putin's been doing is looking for spots in the world where there is a leadership vacuum and an opening to have influence.
So they're saying that, you know, Trump not getting involved is a good thing for Putin because Putin wants to get involved and kind of help control this area. So all they're screaming about right now is that they were talking about that Maduro was a horrible person. He was a dictator. He was a fascist and he was everything that they say Trump is now. But what are they saying now?
Tell me why Venezuela is free and all my friends from Venezuela are celebrating, posting on their timelines and just so grateful. But the only ones that are not are the Democrats, the liberals, and like, why?
They all fucking are in panic right now and having an absolute shit fit because Trump fucking took out Maduro. No casualties, no civilian injuries, middle of the fucking night, everybody was sleeping, yeeted that motherfucker out of his own goddamn house. So much so that even CNN had to fucking say, wow. But listen to how they phrase this.
Tell me how this news is being received in Iran. How's it being received in Russia? How's it being received in China?
All three predictably will deplore this kind of activity publicly, privately.
See, that's they're going to deplore this activity publicly. The three fucking world leaders that are against us, that should be fearful of us, right? That should be a good thing that they're going to fucking deplore this activity publicly.
Privately, they will be impressed with the military capability here. I would argue none of those three militaries could have executed an operation like this. And again,
listen to how he describes this operation.
And we tend to just breeze by this. But the idea of finding, fixing, kidnapping, taking him out alive with his wife.
Why do they have to say it as kidnapping? It's not fucking kidnapping. It's fucking arresting. It's detaining. It's retrieving. It's called finding the fuck out. But, oh, so we got Mad Cow Senior, right? Yeah. I mean, nothing personal against Will Wheaton, but I can see the resemblance. Let's see how she fucking reacts to this.
What do you make of this? It's a very, very big development in a months-long effort against Venezuela.
Yeah, I mean, I'm really interested to hear what the president has to say in his remarks from the White House that are planned for just a little under an hour from now. Ali, I feel like in your heart of hearts, when you think about what the United States just did, I think there are very few Americans right now who have any idea why the United States did this. If this was about drug trafficking, then why did President Trump just pardon the former president of Honduras?
That's a whole other fucking story that they don't even want to fucking get involved in the details of. But yeah, I digress.
Who was convicted of sending hundreds of tons of drugs into the United States. If this was about something about the illegitimacy of Maduro's election, well, that's something that the U.S. is, you know, decrying any other country policing. We just sanctioned Brazil for having tried to protect itself from a coup by its former president, Jair Bolsonaro. I mean,
that was a fucking coup that actually happened. No, we're not going to get into Brazil because, yeah.
And if it's about gangs, we had the president of El Salvador, who is believed by U.S. law enforcement to be very linked with the notorious gang MS-13, which has caused incredible damage in the hemisphere, including in the United States.
Now she's trying to say that the fucking president of El Salvador is linked to the MS-13, even though he's taken down all the MS-13.
He's invited into the Oval Office, and the president says that he's looking forward to sending homegrown Americans.
See, listen to that.
Into the Oval Office.
No, wait, let's go back a little bit more. Because that's an outright fucking lie.
Of El Salvador, who is believed by U.S. law enforcement to be very linked with the notorious gang MS-13, which is
the gang that he's fucking imprisoning. She's trying to say that he's linked to it.
Caused incredible damage in the hemisphere, including in the United States. He's invited into the Oval Office, and the president says that he's looking forward to sending homegrown Americans to that president's essentially, you know, jungle concentration camp.
No, Trump did not say he's looking forward to sending homegrown fucking Americans over to CECOT. See, this is the bullshit fucking lies that they spew. And because there is no more Smith-Month Act, fucking thanks to goddamn Obama and shit, oh fucking piece of shit, fucking turd munching, fucking, oh God. I hope Michael kicks his ass again one day. But yeah, that's the amount of panic that they fucking have. Okay. That's what the fuck is going on with these people. This is I get pretty pissed at a lot of this, but the thing is, you got to have hope. You have to have hope. And I honestly believe that 2026 is the year that all this hope comes to fruition. This is in New York City. In an epic sight, real Venezuelans are storming New York City to counteract the white liberals protesting against Trump's Maduro capture and strikes. These fucking Democrats are clueless to what's going on. These people are fucking ecstatic. These people know what real tyranny is. These are the real asylum seekers. Not the fucking gang members and the sex traffickers. These are the real fucking asylum seekers. Those are the ones that needed our assistance. And those are the ones that more than likely will get our assistance. I have hope for our future right now because people are waking up. The truth is getting out there. And not everything is being believed by the media. The media has gotten so far bad that they're begging for you to fucking watch and listen to them. Please believe us. I promise you, we're going to be honest this time. Change is happening around the fucking world. And the world isn't ready for it. I see good things happening all over this internet. And it's going to get worse before it gets better. But we have good things coming. I find it. There was a politician here. This Royce White, who's running for state senate in Minnesota. I have absolutely fuck all to do with the state of Minnesota. But I want more people like this running for office. Find him, I guess it's on TikTok, for at last.renaissance.man. And I want to see more people like this in office.
Say you become Minnesota's next U.S. Senator.
Yes.
Would you work across party lines to accomplish change?
There are no party lines anymore.
But what do you mean by that?
There are no party lines. There are only patriots and nationalists and globalists. There are no party lines.
But there are still senators from different party perspectives.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, for the theater.
So are you willing to...
There aren't a handful of America First, unbought and paid for United States senators in the entire United States Senate.
How about this?
He said it out loud. There are a handful of America First, unbought and paid for American senators. Handful.
How would you collaborate with counterparts?
Tell the truth. I'm not collaborating with traitors. I'm not collaborating with, and some people would say, well, that makes you unqualified to run for the office. The prerequisite is that you have to become enmeshed in the corruption of the machine in order to be a viable candidate. And I think that's what's wrong with American political culture, is that we expect our candidates to sell out, but then we tell them not to.
Collaboration is selling out?
If the collaboration is to undermine the fabric of this country and the value of citizenship, for sure.
I'm thinking about, like, writing bills and, like,
where do you think the selling out of this nation happens?
Okay, fair, fine.
And that right fucking there, on these fucking bills that they make, there is no fucking negotiation. All of this shit goes to their fucking friends and their family and their fucking donors and all of this shit. It's all fucking money laundering. And when people get in, they don't talk about what happens behind the scenes. And that's what needs to be fucking exposed.
All right. I clearly you have issue with the system.
For sure.
Okay.
I have huge issues with the system. I have huge issues with omnibus bills. I have huge issues with the special interests and lobby money in D.C. I have a huge issue with the fact that it's a conventional prerequisite that a United States Senate candidate has to have pre-committed to a lobby of a special interest and lobby to have any chance of raising the money necessary to win one of these campaigns. I object to all of that.
This is what we need. And I think J.D. Vance is something like this as well, too. I honestly hope he is part of that handful that Royce Wyatt was talking about. And we need to see more of this in our fucking government. Our government was not meant to be run by only those that were fucking selected. Our government was meant to be run by us. We're not supposed to follow everything that they fucking say. They're supposed to be there to speak up for everything that we need. And unfortunately enough, just like when you see it, when the AI fucking movies, they always seem to think they know better than you do. I have faith in the future. Pam Bondi seems to think there's going to be arrests. She said there's going to be arrests. And if there's not arrest, it'll get ugly. According to the conspiracy theorists, military is the only way, and I kind of believe that myself. But there's steps that have to be taken first. We're not going to be like Nepal. But it'll get damn close to it, I think. In the end, I have faith. Because right now, we're on our way back to healing. And it's getting funnier and funnier by the day. Don't let Nick Shirley be the last real journalist out there. I know that shit's spreading. We're learning more and more about everything else that's happening out there in Maine, Ohio, Seattle, California. Grab your popcorn, folks. Shit's about to get fucking wild. See you next time. Hopefully you'll wait for me. Hear the music.